Good evening. Thinking of this little hymn on the back of our hymn sheet, number 44. It says, "Into the tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried," said he, "nobody ever has told it to me." And I didn't know that I would mention this hymn until I stepped up here. But it makes me to wonder if it's for the very purpose that there might be somebody here tonight that has never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. That has never heard about the way of salvation from your sins. The refrain or the chorus says, "Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before." Sometimes, I'm sure others may agree, that we get an opportunity like this to tell you the glad tidings of joy. And it feels like, quite possibly, we repeat the verses, or we repeat the stories. Well, it was so precious to this little gypsy boy that he would cry, "Tell it again, tell it again." And it must be so important that God would give another opportunity, that we might tell it again, because He loves you so much. He loves you so much that He made a way for you to come to Him. And He made a way so that you would spend eternity with Him in a wonderful place. Let's sing it together, hymn number 44. I wonder if you were taking your last breath. Right at this very moment, where would you spend eternity? Would it be with the Lord in heaven? Or would you be cast into hell for your sins? I usually only sing one hymn at the beginning, but I had a different thought in my heart for a bit of the day. And then our brother got up and he had the address. And he mentioned two words about to refuse and to choose. And it made me think of this hymn, and it's been on my heart ever since. So let's sing number 21 together. It says, "Decide for Christ today. Christ alone can save, break the power of sin. Christ doth fully satisfy the heart that cleaves to Him." Number 21. It's important that we recognize in this hymn the word today. I would recommend we switch it from today to even now, at this very moment. There is no time to waste, dear one, if you have not come to know Jesus as your Savior. There is not a moment to waste. It says that we are helpless and guilty, dead and blind. You know, this week, and I wondered how the Lord might bring this out, I had an opportunity to go with some of our brethren And they took us on a little field trip to where we went to a cave. How many people have been in a cave before? You know, it was very important that each one had a flashlight. It was mandatory that each one had a flashlight. And so we entered this cave, and I would tell you that it was against my better judgment. But in we went, and with the flashlight, there was enough light that you could make your way safely. There were times that you had to duck down and get under stone, and there were times that it closed in a little bit more and seemed a little bit ominous to me. But once we were in the depths of this cave, the lady that led the trek, she said, "Now I want you all to stand very still. Nobody move. And turn out your light." And we did. And it was so dark. I can't describe it, how dark it was. It was black. I could not see a thing. You know, your heart is black with sin. It's as dark as it was in that cave. The lady, she had a lighter, and she flicked it on. You know, it wasn't as bright as our lantern, our flashlights, but it gave just enough light that you could see. It was no longer dark. There was no darkness. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, God saw that the light was good, and He divided it from the darkness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, there is no communion between light and darkness. None. It says there is no communion between righteousness and unrighteousness. If your heart is black with sin, that is unrighteousness. And without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could say that you have no hope, that you are helpless, you are blind. You're on your way to a lost eternity. But I want to be very clear about how much God loves you. He says, God is love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you sit in your sins right now, could you take a moment and consider 2,000 years ago, it says, unto you a son is born. It says, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How would Jesus do that? It says that He would be a light to the Gentiles, a light to you and I, that He might open the blind eyes, that He might take you out of darkness, out of the prison house, and that He might bring you into light. Why would He do that for you and me? Because He loves you. You are so precious. There is nothing that He holds more dear than to have you in His presence. There is nothing that He has more dear than to provide a place for you to spend eternity with Him. That one, Jesus, they took him and they nailed him to a cross of wood. Nail prints in his hands and his feet, crown of thorns on his head. I cannot describe it for you, but can you picture a man that was beat so bad that you would never recognize him? Second Corinthians 5, the last verse, 21, I believe, says, He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Made him to be sin. I think I said it when I prayed, but you know, there were 3 hours of darkness, and that darkness was so great while our sins were poured upon him there. That darkness was so great, so that you and I might be brought into the light. I want to tell you this little story. I may have said it before. It's about a man whose name was Bert Barker. You know, maybe you, like Bert, grew up going to meeting, going to a church somewhere, Sunday school, a gospel tent, and maybe you heard about how to come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. And maybe you refused. Maybe you rejected that offer of salvation, that gift of God. Maybe you refused it, even to this moment, right now. Bert Barker grew up going to Sunday school, and he knew all these things, how to be saved, and he refused it. Even to the point that he got a little bit older and decided Sunday school was not good for him anymore. And he got to hanging out with the wrong people. Even to where he joined probably one of the worst clubs in town. He took up gambling. One night, he was on his way to the club to meet up with his friends. And as he walked down the street, he was coming upon that building where he had gone to Sunday school for so many years when he was younger. And out on the street, it said, special gospel address tonight. Dear, can you see that sign, dear one? For you, a special gospel address tonight. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that sign is posted for you right now. Don't ignore it. You know, Bert, he walked in the door. He said, it'd be kind of cool to see the old building again. And so he went in. And he sat in the back row where he thought he might be not noticed. And they gave out a hymn. And can you imagine? Bert knew the hymn. He remembered it. And he started singing. And he recognized, oh, maybe I shouldn't let them see me be so happy singing this song. The man prayed about the gospel message, and Bert felt that the prayer was directly aimed at him, that he was the one in the room tonight that was lost in his sin and had no hope. But the man told the story all over again of how to be saved in simply believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He shed His precious blood to wash your sins away. Believe it. You know, there was a man, Thomas, in the Bible. It says, Thomas, look and see the nail prints in my hands and my feet. Thrust your finger into my side and believe. Thomas did that. But the Lord Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Can you by faith tonight believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? Can you recognize your need as a sinner and own Him as Lord now? Well, Bert did. Bert did. He fell on his knees right there in the last pew. He got down, he prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ to save him and to wash his sins away. And he was so happy. He got up and he was overjoyed. And he said, what should I do? And you know, he walked out of the building and he headed right to that club that he had intended to go to. And he walked in the door and they all said, Bert, where have you been? You're late. Come and sit down. Let's have a hand of cards and a drink. And Bert held up his hands and he said, these hands have handled the cards for the last time. He said, I have a new master. He said, I have a new master. And I'm going to serve the Lord. And my first job is going to be to tell you all about the Lord Jesus Christ. If that is you tonight, dear one, does it not touch your soul? Does it not reach your heart? The love that He has for you in giving Himself so that you might be saved. It's not a difficult thing. Bert just had to own. He just had to admit that he was a sinner. He just had to tell the Lord that. And he got on his knees and did it. He had a whole new way of thinking about it. The Lord looks for repentance. He says repentance towards God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He just looks for that from you and I. There's a verse in John chapter 8. Now I consider the darkness of that night for Bert as he walked down towards that old club and saw the sign to go into the gospel meeting. And I recognize the darkness in the heart of an unbeliever. I was one once. And I recognize that God sent His Son to be the light of the world. And this verse tells us clearly, in verse 12 of John chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I don't know about you, but when I think about being in that cave and the darkness of it, is that how you're walking right now? I would not want to spend every moment of every day walking around as though I am blind to the love of God and in this dark cave. It made me to think of ones like Jeremiah in chapter 38. He was cast in the dungeon. He was stuck in the mire, in the clay. What a place to be. Or what about Jonah Maybe you know the story about Jonah. He refused God's offer to go and do a work for him. And he ran in the wrong direction. It doesn't say it was night, you know, but he was found sleeping. It does say it was boisterous, windy, a very bad storm. That indicates darkness to me. Very frightening. It must be frightening if you are still lost and undone and in your sins. Jonah did not know what would befall him at the moment that he went in the wrong direction. But you know, on that boat, they took him and they cast him into the waters. I'm not a very good swimmer. I don't know about Jonah. But if the seas were so boisterous and it was so dark and the wind was so strong, it must have seemed to him as though he had no hope. And as it was with him as he went down into the depths, it is as death, darkness. To be swallowed by that fish would be darker than a cave, I'm sure. Is that where you are tonight, dear one? Are you in the depths of darkness? On your way to death with no hope? Repent, ye. He says it, repent ye. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. It's beautiful. He says in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Doesn't that sound so much more glorious? It's such a wonderful place to spend eternity than in the depths of hell. You know, in Luke, is it 12? There's a story there that maybe you remember about the rich man and Lazarus. He was in torment. He was in torment. It says there was a great gulf fixed that none could come from hence and go over, and none could come back the other way. There is no hope of returning from that place. Matthew chapter 22. Just a part of a verse. Partway into verse 13, it says, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. Cast him into outer darkness. You know that one. The Lord Jesus Christ, that one who is the light of the world, he is in the glory now. And he is waiting for the very moment to come and to claim his own. He says it, when I make up my jewels, are you one of his jewels? Are you precious to him? He is going to come. Very soon, he's going to take us to be with him for all eternity in this glorious place. If you haven't asked him to save you, if you haven't asked him to wash your sins away, Do it now. I know we repeat the verse over and over and over again. It says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Decide for Christ now. Don't reject His gracious offer. Now, I just read this the other day, and maybe I should have said it a moment ago, but when Jonah went down to get on that boat, said he paid the fare. He paid the fare. It cost him something for the direction he was going in. It says the wages of sin is death. That's what it costs you, dear ones, to be a sinner. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't reject His gracious offer tonight. Can I tell you another story? This story is one that I told recently, but I find it to be extremely impactful, at least to myself. It's a story about a man that loved the Lord dearly. And he had a wife and children. And the desire of he and his wife was to bring their family up for the Lord so that they each one might know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. This man was faithful. And one day he went off to work. And on his way to work, he was struck by a car. They rushed him to the hospital, and the doctor informed him that he had 2 hours to live. He summoned for his family to come, his wife and his children. And they arrived by his side, and knowing that time was short, he immediately spoke to his wife, and he told her how precious she was. What a wonderful wife she had been, with the same desires to go on for the Lord and to encourage Him in the way and to raise their children up so that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then he went to his eldest, his daughter, Mary. And he told Mary what a true delight she had been as she came into their family, and how she had received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, and had gone on in such an encouraging way as to be a help to the rest in the house. Then he came to his eldest son, William. And he spoke much the same things as when he was born and the Lord had given them this boy. And he too had taken the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Then he had another son, Charlie. And he skipped over Charlie. I guess I've left something very important out in this story. As he ended speaking to each one of them, he said, good night. He said, good night. Good night to his dear wife. Good night to Mary. Good night to William. And he got to Charlie, and he passed over Charlie, and he went to the youngest, Gracie. And he too told her of his love and how too she had loved the Lord Jesus Christ and gone on for the Lord and been such a good little girl, a real joy to have. And he said to her, good night. And then he turned back to Charlie. And he said, Charlie, your mother and I, we love you. You had the same opportunities as each and every other child in our house. But you chose a path of darkness. You went down a wrong path. and you have not taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So Charlie, goodbye. Goodbye. Charlie fell down at the side of his father, weeping. Father, why would you say goodnight to everyone else and goodbye to me? His father said, Charlie, because I know that the others have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know it says so, that we will be together again in the glory. We will spend eternity together. But you, Charlie, you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And where you're going, I can never come over. There is a great gulf fixed, dear ones. So he said goodbye. Well, Charlie fell down on his knees in agony for his sin. And he cried out in earnest to the Lord, save me, Lord, save me for my sins. And his father said, Charlie, are you earnest? Do you mean it? Is it real? Charlie said, oh, yes, Father. And he knows. He said, and he knows it is real. Well, then it is not goodbye. It is good night. I will see you in the morning. And so the man, the father, the husband, he went to be with the Lord at that moment, knowing that he would spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and that all of his family would be there. Dear ones, children, young people, are you Charlie? Have you taken to walking in a path of darkness, one that leaves the Lord completely out of your life? If the Lord came right now, I would have to say to you goodbye. But that is not the case. At this very moment, you still have time. You still have time to recognize and tell the Lord Jesus that you're a sinner and that you don't want to be any longer and that you have a new way of thinking about it, that you want to be like Him and with Him and believe that He can wash your sins away and make you clean. Won't you do it now before it's too late? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I can remember being a boy. Oh, probably ages of many of you here. And we had the gospel tent in Laurinville where I grew up. And many would come in. They would pack the tent so full. And this song would be sung over and over and over again. Just like that gypsy boy, tell it over and over. Why would it be so important for you to hear it again tonight? So that you might know of the saving power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be saved. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me You know, we said that hymn, we started it a little bit for Sunday school, didn't we? The one, "My heart was black with sin until the Savior came in. His precious blood, I know, has washed me white as snow." What a wonderful thing to know the blood of Jesus has washed all our guilty stains away and made us as white as snow. It says, "No other fount I know. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Well, you know, there's a little poem on the back of this. I believe it's a hymn, actually. Brother Joe looked it up for me earlier. It says, "Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thine heart. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Trust him now and believe and be saved."